This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. Happy New Year, everyone! I apologize for coughing in advance and clearing my throat. Somehow, I was not careful enough, apparently. And there is a cold going around at my major clients, and you know, who knows, it's everywhere, and I just did not keep my hands away from my face enough. So it wasn't long after I went back in to work this week that I started feeling it. Now, whether it was actually going back into work or whether I picked something up over the weekend when we went to Branson, you know, who knows. I mean, we ate a lot of meals in Branson, and with incubation times, there could have been somebody sick at one of the restaurants we went to. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. Anyway, no matter what, I am starting to come down with a cold, and so I am working on it. I'm working on it. I'm taking my zinc, and I'm trying to keep it from getting worse in my chest, and blah, 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 blah. Viruses. Grr. Anyways, so we were off for a week. Went and saw the Star Wars movie the last week. Did a podcast on that. That was fun. It's always fun getting together with the family. And it is a new year, and we're starting up again. And this is 458, I think. 458. And all is well. Everything's puttering along at work. We're just setting projects up, knocking them down, moving forward. did some more of that work. This is traditionally a big, busy time, because we're obviously trying to close the calendar year now in a nonprofit organization, and even for-profit organizations, if they're aligned to the financial, their financial year is aligned to their calendar year. Of course, it's big time. The organization that I'm working with currently actually has their fiscal year skewed from their calendar year. So their fiscal year actually starts in April. But obviously, since it's a nonprofit and there's a lot of charitable giving going on, then this is a big time. So they usually try to get closed and get all the missionaries paid by the 10th of the month in January. They push that to the 15th. It gets all the more interesting this time because the 15th is actually Martin Luther King, I think. Martin Luther King's holiday, Jr. So we're not even going to be open on the 15th. It's a bank holiday, etc., etc. So they have been pushing to get done. That all seems to be going fine. Writing is going fine. I'm rereading what I did so far on book 8. We've got book 7 out. Ordered the copies for book 7, so we're ready to go there. We'll see how many reviews I get on Amazon on this one, because this one was a little rougher for the beta readers, but that's fine. We're moving on now. And I think I know where I'm going in this book, so that should be okay. We should just be able to run this thing out, get to the end of the first opus. Dun, da, da, da. and so far, the book seems to be going fine. There's some tweaking I need to do on it. Some things aren't quite where they need to be, but they never will get to where they need to be because I'm writing this series too fast to actually polish it and, you know, make it everything I'd like it to be, because there's too many books in this series. So we're just trying to get for that level of passable mediocrity, and then we're moving on. And this will keep me going through retirement, which is its point, to keep me occupied until retirement. And speaking of things to keep me occupied, a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, in fact, I was getting ready to ramp up for Elf Day. So we did have Elf Day on the 22nd of December, and it was fun. It was fun. I just thought I would document while I could quasi-remember the stuff that happened. I thought I'd go ahead and quasi-document that just as part of my little diary, and then next week we'll get back to the rest of the stuff that we like talking about, and there is a ton of stuff. So bear with me. In fact, if you just don't want to hear about my personal experiences, I will not be offended at all if you just want to shut this off and come back to it when we're talking about interesting things like quantum computing and graphene batteries and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so about four times a year now, I kind of go all out when I'm dressing up to go to Walmart. Every week, I try to wear some kind of a funny t-shirt or something. I think I'm going to wear my Flash t-shirt tomorrow. I have to go up to headquarters to my major client to help out with one little process tomorrow. So I think I'm going to put on my Flash socks with my little capes on them and my Flash t-shirt and go do that tomorrow. So that's kind of the standard fare for Fridays now. You know, some kind of a funny t-shirt, weird socks, skinny jeans, roll up my skinny jeans and wear interesting shoes and ta-da. But about four times a year now, I've been doing something that's a little more extravagant. So like in October, it was Crazy Paisley Day. So that was the Friday before Halloween. It's Crazy Paisley Day. Wear as many different types of paisley as you can. and just try your best to clash. Just clash. So the Friday before Christmas is Elf Day. And last year, I had found a company called Faux-Real, F-A-U-X-R-E-A-L, and they have some really cool, fun t-shirts. And they have an elf shirt. It's a long-sleeve t-shirt, but it's photorealistic printed, and the whole thing is photorealistic printed. So, you know, it looks like an elf with a, you know, elf shirt on and wearing a belt, and he's got candy canes in his belt, and fun. In the back, it looks like he's got a teddy bear stuck in his belt on the back, and so it's just fun. I had worn it last year to both the church Christmas party and then to Walmart, you know, and I just put a hat on and rolled up my pants and wore some striped socks. So this year, I decided we're going all out this year. Because Crazy Paisley Day had gone well enough and it was fun and I hadn't gotten mugged, I thought, you know what, we're doing this. So this year I had found some candy cane. Well, first of all, I'd found some elf shoes and they weren't great. They weren't great. I spent a little more for them because, you know, I wanted to find something that wasn't just terrible, that was a little level better. Well, it came in and they were okay, but they weren't great. So I ran down and I got some house shoes that I could stuff in them so that it would bulk them out a little bit. And I took some batting and pushed it into the toes so the toes would stick up. And, you know, of course they had the little jingle bells on it, and I modified them and got them all working, because it's fun to do something just creative, you know. It's fun to get the right side of the brain moving, and I had a little extra time because I was finishing up on the book, and so I got my elf shoes all kind of plumped out so they were more cartoony looking. And then of course I had my shirt, and I decided that I'd go ahead, since it kind of had a scoop neck on it, I went ahead and bought myself just a white dress shirt so I could have a collar underneath that, and then I bought myself a bow tie, a candy cane bow tie. So I had the candy cane bow tie on. And then I've, since the shirt has a printed teddy bear stuck into the belt, I went ahead and got myself a teddy bear that kind of matched that. And then I already had a kind of a stocking cap elf hat, and I safety pinned the bear's hands to either side of the hat, and then I safety pinned its head down onto its arm so that it looked like it was looking out the side. And so when I put the hat on and wrap the bear's legs around my neck, then it looks like I'm giving the bear a little piggyback ride, and it's looking around to where it can see. So it was very cute. I'm just telling you, it was very cute. Then I also found some candy cane tights that didn't have little candy canes on them. They had the big candy cane stripes that wrapped around the legs all the way up. And they had them set up so that when you put your legs together, it made one big candy cane stripe swooping around. So they were cool. I liked them. And then there was kind of the standard boxer, elf boxers that were just the green material, but they were cut with the triangle things, and they had a little bell on each and the end of the triangles. So, and they were shorter. So I had all of that on, you know, with the candy cane tights and the bear and this, that, and the other and stuff. And I went to breakfast with the music minister at our church. Really good guy. In fact, we moved our breakfast so that he could go to breakfast on Elf Day with me, because he had gone to breakfast with me on Crazy Paisley Day, and he had really enjoyed that. So we decided to do breakfast. The sad thing was, he was sick. He was not feeling well at all. In fact, he had gone back later in the day and just gone to bed, because he was just... And when he walked in, he was like, oh, nice house. You know, I could tell he just wasn't feeling very well. I said, man, you didn't, you know, so. But our waitress at the restaurant, she was not thrilled with his getup. I mean, she was not for this. She was trying to be civil and pleasant and everything, but you could tell she was not happy. Which is fine. You're going to get some of those kind of reacts. So we started a little rough, because Dylan wasn't feeling very well, so there wasn't much positive feedback on that, and then, you know, the waitress wasn't feeling very well. But I had told a couple of people at my major client that I would swing by and say hello, so I swung by what's called the Missionary Kids office, the MK office, and I know one particular person in there, the office manager. Her name's Sarah, and she has, like, an elf outfit. So I, you know, she was, like, wanted to see, and so I swung by there, and she laughed, and the other people came out. We were laughing and carrying on, and blah, 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 blah. So that was fine. And then I dropped down to another office where some technical support people are, and we laughed and carried on. And so that was fun. And then over... with the people I'm currently working with, one of the ladies over there said, I want to see, I want to see. So, as with Crazy Paisley Day, I figured out where I could stand outside so that she could see me from her office window, because I wasn't about to go up to my major department client dressed like this. People would be looking at me askance. So I parked the car and walked over and called her and waved at her. In the background, I could hear all the women laughing, which is fine, you know. I love the sound of women laughing. I just love that sound. So then after that, I took over to, I think I went to my dad's pharmacy, because I've struck up a friendship with them. And they like my t-shirts when I came in. So I went in and wished them all Merry Christmas. You know, so they liked it and stuff. And then I went over to my dad's doctor, because it's all right in that area. And those ladies had just hooped and hollered when I, did Crazy Paisley Day, because my dad happened to have an appointment the same day And on Crazy Paisley Day, I had come home, gotten all undressed and stuff, and then I went and put everything back on, and I was leaving the house, and my wife said, "Have you put that back on again?" I said, "Yeah. I'm taking Dad to a doctor's appointment." She said, "You're going like that?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Those ladies, I know them well enough. They're going to love this." And, you know, of course, I walked in there hooping and hollering and calling the other nurses up to see and all that kind of stuff. So, once again, as I had done on Crazy Paisley Day, I walked in and the main receptionist lady was on the phone. So she wasn't really looking at me. And so I walked in, stood in front of her, in front of the desk, so she really couldn't see me from the waist down, actually about mid-chest down. And, of course, she saw the teddy bear and saw the shirt and she thought it was great, the bow tie and all that kind of stuff, you know, thought it was great. And, "Oh, look at you," you know, so we said, "Merry Christmas," did all that kind of thing. And so then I walked around the side, you know, with the candy cane tights and the little booties. And you know, then she's hooping and hollering and calling to the people in the back. And they're taking me back in the back so the other nurses can see, you know. So it was fun. It was fun. It was fun. It was fun. Take pictures, all that kind of good stuff. And people ask me a lot. They say, "Oh, did you take pictures?" I don't take pictures of this stuff. Because for me, what's happening is a moment. It's a human-to-human contact. And it is that moment. And pictures, especially when you take pictures and you upload it to Facebook, and I'll talk about this more at some point, but, you know, Facebook is what we used to call, I've probably mentioned this before, Facebook is what we used to call the peanut gallery. And when you just see a picture outside the context of anything, people then feel obligated to reach a snap judgment and decide whether they like things or not. I'm checking my mail. Some of the time, that snap judgment has nothing to do with anything. It's just kind of a knee-jerk reaction, and I don't really see the need to subject myself to that stuff. So, I don't take pictures, and I don't upload it on Facebook. But if other people want to take pictures, you know, that's fine. So, pictures were taken, blah, 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 blah. So, then I went to Walmart. And lots of grins at Walmart. I mean, the staff knows me well enough now that when I waltz in, they just look at me. Some of the guys, they just look at me and shake their heads, and I laugh, and they laugh, and we talk about this, that, and the other, and, you know, it's fine. But, of course, I caused a stir. I mean, there's the produce department at the Walmart I go to now has a new manager, and so she was grinning real big. She came over at one point. I'm backing into my garage, and she said a customer came up to me, and she said, "So does he work here?" And she said, I said, no, he's just a customer. And she said, "Well, he's really into the Christmas spirit." So it was fun, and I was in the produce department, and I was going around getting my stuff, and I heard from kind of back over behind me, I heard this, "Hi." So I turned around, and it was a little boy. He was in the cart with his mom, and she was grinning. And I said, "Hi, how are you? Merry Christmas." And she said, "Well, say it back to him. He's like, Merry Christmas." So from there on out, every time I saw them go by, the little boy was like, "Hi, hi," you know, so I'd say hi back. And so that was fine. So I made it around, you know, through the produce department, talked to a few people, wished them Merry Christmas, made it down, started going down one aisle and ran into a former parishioner from my son-in-law's church. And she was laughing. She said, you know, she said, I looked up and she said, I thought, there's an elf in here. And she said, and then I realized that's Phil. And she was laughing. She thought it was great. And so we chatted for a little while. And then I kind of worked my way down some more. And, you know, the lady workers who know me, I mean, they were all just grinning from ear to ear the whole time. And there's one particular lady in there who has come to starting calling me she says, "You're my fashion statement." She said, "I'm just going to call you fashion statement." I said, "Okay, that's fine." And so I went through once and I didn't see her. I thought, well, okay. And so then I was going through the second time, and I saw her talking to somebody, helping someone out, and then she started walking towards me, and she hadn't seen me yet. So I just stopped in the middle of the aisle and just kind of put a smirk on my face and just stared at her until she looked up. And she looked up at me, and it took her just like a split second. She looked, not sure what she's looking at. Suddenly she realizes it's me, and she gets this huge grin on her face. How are you? Merry Christmas. She said, Merry Christmas. And she's walking by me. She said, don't go anywhere. I said, okay, I won't. So she went and helped somebody out, and she finally came back, and she was laughing, and I think I got a hug out of that one. And meanwhile, the little guy is going by, hi, you know, so we're doing that whole thing. And one of the other Walmart ladies, she comes up, and she's just grinning, and she looked, and she said, you look so cute. I said, thanks. Thanks. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And she just stood there looking at me. So that was fun. And then I'm walking along, and I look down the aisle, and I see this young African-American woman, young, 20 to 35. Normally, okay, I have a rule. You know, there's no way I can do a cold open with a woman between the ages of about 16 to 30 and have them not thinking I'm hitting on them. So I just don't do cold opens. But I looked up, and she's got a Santa hat on and a Santa vest on. And I said, hey, Merry Christmas. And she said, Merry Christmas. And so she walks all the way down the aisle to me and reaches out, gives me a big hug. And she says, may all your wishes come true. I said, well, thank you. Merry Christmas. And I saw her a couple of more times on the way out. So that was fun. And I worked my way around, wishing Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Eventually, I ended up on the other side of the store. I was over by the pharmacy department because I was looking at some things for my dad. And I hear this laughter behind me and stuff. And I turn around. They said, come here, so we can all see. So that was the pharmacy department. So I walked over there and, you know, ta-da, they're all, you know, smiling and laughing and grinning. And even after I went back, I'd hear, watch, and then footsteps and then laughter and then back. You know? So it was fun. So then when I was checking out, I was standing there and I hear this little girl's voice behind me, Merry Christmas. And I turned around. I said, Merry Christmas. This little girl is standing there and I look up and her mom is about, you know, 5-7 feet away and her mom's just grinning from ear to ear. She said, you have absolutely mesmerized her. She said she has been watching you. She said the first time she saw you, she said, Mom, there's an elf in the store. I said, yes. And so, and I heard from another worker that apparently the same little girl, the mom was asking the worker, she said, so do you know where the elf went? Because apparently they lost me as I was going around and around. And so they were looking for me. And the worker said, well, he's around here somewhere. He said, I've seen him. He said, because my daughter just wants to see him again. So anyway, so we exchanged pleasantries. And, you know, it was nice. Merry Christmas, all that kind of stuff. And so then as I was checking out for my dad, there was a guy, older man, he was sitting over by the benches and he hollered out, nice outfit, thanks. So, you know, I told him, I said, yeah, I said, you know, an outfit like this, I said, this is like sheer terror for an introvert. This would just be murder for an introvert to wear something like this. But you know, us extroverts, especially us, I didn't say this to him, but especially us exhibitionist extroverts. And he was laughing. And so we had a nice little conversation. Then as I was on the way out, the young African-American woman was actually seated on that bench too. And neither here nor there, but she was actually breastfeeding her little baby. And I looked at her and she smiled real big and I smiled back. I said, Merry Christmas. And she said, Merry Christmas. And so we had a nice little moment. I weirded my dad out. I got there that morning and I came into the house and he looked at me. He said, "What are you wearing?" I said, "It's Elf Day today, Pop." He looked at me. He said, "Well, I wouldn't call me caught dead in something like that." I said, "I know, Pop." And he kept saying, I said, "Pop, Pop." I said, "Maybe you've figured out by now that you and I are not exactly the same in how we feel about things and the things we're willing to do." "Well, you can say that again." So, oh, what was really funny, which is kind of part of the point of all this and something to be learned from all this, is that when I got back to his house after I'd done the grocery shopping and all that kind of stuff, and I came in and he'd had long enough to think about it, and he was uncomfortable enough that his son was wearing tights and, short shorts and blah, 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 blah. Because that's really, I think, what the problem was. I don't think he would have been bothered by the shirt. He wouldn't have been bothered by, because the year before, I just wore jeans and rolled them up, and, he didn't really say anything. It was no big deal. It really comes down to the tights and the short shorts. And I think it made him uncomfortable enough that he had to deal with this. And how he figured out how to deal with this is what happens a lot of times, unfortunately, in the Christian church. When, and it's not just the people in the Christian church. It's basically any religious people and any non-religious people, because it's just us as humans. It's just us as humans that we have this core fundamental belief that we should feel comfortable about things, that we should not be offended by things. Except all of us make a list of the things that are offensive to us. And that list varies from person to person. But we, in our, frankly, megalomania, believe that the world should make us comfortable. And so when there is any kind of exterior stimulus that falls outside the range of what we consider to be comfortable, then we immediately classify that as a problem. And we immediately assign that problem and the responsibility for that problem to people outside of ourselves, as opposed to stopping and saying, okay, why does this make me uncomfortable? And all of that happens underneath the surface. And for the most part, we are unaware that that's happening underneath the surface unless we take specific time to discipline ourselves to recognize that when we're having an adverse, offensive reaction to something, we should just slow down and say, what it is, what is it about this thing that is offending me? So my dad had enough time that he figured out how he would deal with this, because it was offensive to him. He didn't bother to try to figure out why it was offensive to him. He just came up with something. And often people in organized religion, the thing they come up with is to figure out a spiritual, quote unquote, reason why this is offensive. And so the reason that Dad came up with when I came into the house the second time to bring in his groceries, he kind of did that thing where, and Christians do this a lot, "Well, I just hope that all the people you saw today knew whose birthday it was there that they're celebrating." And I was like, "Oh, Pop." I said, "This is all just in fun." "I know, but elves don't have anything to do with Jesus, and people need to remember whose birthday it is they're celebrating." Okay, I see. So the underlying theme here is that if I dress up as an elf, that's wrong because I'm not showing people whose birthday it is they're celebrating. So what I really should have done is dressed up like, I guess, a wise man or a shepherd or something, because then people would have been reminded of the reason for the season, which is Jesus. But okay, well, I suppose. But, for me, what this was point of contacts. So I went grocery shopping last week at Walmart, and there was a warmer relationship with some of the people there. Some of the workers there spent more time talking to me. Some of them had bigger smiles on their faces when they saw me. We got to chit-chat. Relationship. It's about relationship. Building relationships. And, you know, if that means an elf costume, that's fine. If that means that little kids, I mean, in what universe does a mom send a little girl up to talk to a guy who's dressed funny that's a complete stranger? You know, in what universe does a young African-American woman walk up to an old white guy and give him a hug who's a complete stranger? These are all points of contact. And if we don't have points of contact, we're never really going to be able to reach people. So it was fun. It was fun. It was fun. It was fun. Now, why would tights and short shorts be offensive? Especially to men, but can be also to women, because definitely our waitress, our server at the breakfast, she was not having this. And I think it all gets down to the infestation of the rituals of reproduction in our lives. From the guy's side, I've mentioned this before, we need to be careful because the rituals of reproduction within us are going to try to answer a particular question fastest. And that is, when we move into any situation where there is a collection of human beings, the question that our rituals of reproduction are going to try to answer, my wife is coming in, the garage door just started opening, and it was like, whoa, hey! The question that it's trying to answer, and I've said this before, is, can I have sex with it? And so we as men use visual cues to try to figure out, you know, can I have sex with it? Or if you put it another way, can I inseminate it? But that's a base ritual of reproduction response, and we need to get control over that. And so if we're just reacting in a negative way to something we see simply because we think that thing is confusing the answer to the question of, can I have sex with it, we need to do better than that. We need to recognize that that's what's happening and recognize that it, just because something is wearing tight clothing doesn't mean I should consider whether or not they would be a receptacle for insemination. I mean, that's not the way we should be thinking. And I think for women, the flip side is this competition in my quest to find something that will protect me and, you know, look out after me? Because if there's an entity that's going around and confusing men as to what they should be looking towards and pursuing, then that means that resource might be compromised. And I think there's a competition thing that's happening there, which is one of the reasons I think that women are often in competition with each other, and that a lot of their beauty rituals that they're going through really don't have anything to do with men. They're competing with each other for what they consider to be a scarce resource. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting things going on here. But the more I'm alive and the more I think about life and all those things, I'm convinced that the infestation of the rituals of reproduction in our lives is a lot deeper and more vast than we are comfortable acknowledging or comfortable investigating, which is all very interesting. The upshot is I had a blast. It was fun. Elf Day was fun. Got to meet new people, got to say Merry Christmas to people, got to talk to children, and there was no problem, and we laughed, and we had lots of fun, and we'll do it again. The next big thing that's coming up is St. Patrick's Day, so that'll be the, St. Patrick's Day is actually the 17th of March, but the Friday before the 16th, I'm working on an outfit for St. Patrick's Day, so this should be fun. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.